When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Hey, it's Enrico Palazzo!
You're swimming pool in the form of they have faith in you. You're swimming pool.
Utah, give me two.
Hey, what's up, everybody? The Blotto Podcast, Two L's, Two Z's here. We are live on a Tuesday night, June 18th, 2024. It is 8:42 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's me and Mike Virginia. Follow Mike at Twitter X at underscore Mike V-A. Tonight, we've got more than may join us, but the main event, the showdown here is Palazzo versus Triple Play. It's not really versus. We all like each other very much, and we enjoy each other's company, but a little crossover event here with the Triple Play crew, so let's welcome them all in here. We got Marty Tallman, D. Mendy, Doc Mendelson himself, and of course, Art, the sexy, sexy man from high school. So, D. Mendy, what up, buddy? How you doing? Welcome to the show. What should people know about you at this point in your life?
Man, my story's already been told, man. I think everybody knows. Just happy to be with my boys tonight. The high school stud at the bottom of the screen. Good to see him as always too. But yeah, glad to hang with you boys tonight. Talk some baseball. Let's get it.
Look at David being like, everyone knows when I walk in a room who I am already. I don't need to tell my story. Triple Play.
Oh, he's like Stephen A. Smith. He thinks he's the main character in the story all the time.
Walking with my like pink suit.
Yeah, David, I'll give his background. David started this little pirate ship floating away at Triple Play Fantasy. That's his baby. Him and Eric started it together, and I jumped on to start the baseball show. They had already had a football show. That's when we got started. Right about when you guys started that Palazzo show. I think you guys started right about when we did. Right about the same time.
January 2020.
We did February 2020 was our first show. Yes. So you got us by a month. You got us by a month. You're our seniors.
Well, I love being your senior, and you could be my daddy anytime. Also, once upon a time, I did a video on Ramondre Stevenson for the Triple Play YouTube channel. That was fun.
That's our first video that spiked.
It's more views than I've gotten on any video on Palazzo ever. But it turns out that that year Ramondre wasn't quite as great. And he might be over, but we're not here to talk football, so I'll leave that in the past. Doc, come on, man. Jump in here. Say hello.
You
give us kisses.
What? Just happy to be talking with more than just the three of the guys I normally do, even though we haven't had a complete show in a while. But I'm ready to laugh, Govier. Like I said, the most entertaining guy in the industry.
Hey, that's me. You know, he's always said that for years, so it's not like he's a bandwagoner. I got to give you credit on that. Thanks, man. I've always appreciated your kind words.
Nobody can overtake you in this community. I don't care the new people that come up. Nobody will ever be more creative than you.
Oh, man. If only your comments were as a salary. That'd be awesome. Man, that'd be so cool.
Every comment's $10.
Really? Holy shit. Wow. That's awesome. Woohoo! You guys want to comment, make sure you jump in the live chat here. You can make fun of Doc. You can make fun of me. You can make fun of Mike, Marty. Art's picture on the graphic, D. Mendy for being too handsome. I mean, there's a lot of ways we can go with this show. Of course, Marty, my man from Michigan, me and him right now, geographically, are only 50 miles apart in reality, but We're on the internet right now together, and we've still never hung out in Michigan in real life. I take full responsibility for that, Marty. I'm sorry.
That's okay, Michael. I love that we've had to go all the way to Arizona to hang out. But as a fellow Michigander, it is so hot everywhere. I'm just happy to be here and staying hydrated as I possibly can. So if you hear a water bottle in the background, I apologize.
Yeah, you'll be sucking on this. You guys getting that? Good. Okay. Then, you know, it's been a minute since I've done a show with my boy Mike Virginia here, so it's great to have Mike back here. Mike, you and I, we're representing Palazzo here tonight. Maybe Britt and Allen will show up. Maybe we'll see Robbie. Maybe we'll see Sam Worshing in Seattle. Who knows? But it's good to have you back, brother. How you feeling now that we're back on the air talking baseball?
Man, I was just talking pre-show for those of you guys in the live chat. I'm ready to talk with some baseball tonight. It's been too long, a little bit off and on here with doing the shows and stuff like that, but I'm excited to have the boys from Triple Play. I actually did a show with you guys last year when I first came up, my first year in the space, and you guys welcomed me with open arms. I've always been a fan of the Triple Play guys and their shows. So if you guys aren't doing so, make sure you guys check them out on YouTube. Give them a follow. Like, subscribe. You guys know the deal. Great podcast and great content as well. So make sure you guys are following all those guys on Twitter and on YouTube.
It's great.
I want to really quickly say on that, Mike, you are what's great about this industry, because not only do you produce content all the time, but you support almost, you know, all the shows, you know, and it's kind of like we're all supporting each other. And I think that's what makes this thing all beautiful. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, dude.
Yeah, okay. You're right, though, man. And Mike has, you know, Mike just messaged me one day last year. He's like, I like your show. And the next thing you know, he's on it. So that's how it starts. If you love this shit and you really want to talk baseball and you have a passion for it and you feel like you got something to contribute, just reach out to people. There's a lot of stories like that. This isn't complicated. Anybody can do what we're doing right now, right? A YouTube link, a camera, a computer, hell, even a phone, right? Doesn't take much. And who knows?
Maybe good looking. You
could be. Oh, well.
Good looking at all six of us as well. So that also that also helps.
It's crazy, too. Like, you hear, like, you know, you're like, do a show with Nick Pollock, do a show with Justin Mason, do a show with Casey Bubba. Like, all the people that you, like, listen to for fantasy baseball advice before you started doing your own, and how flexible and how great they are to get on your show. It's like, that's what the fantasy baseball community is all about. Like, nobody acts like they're too big time to talk on a show that you invite them on. So I think that was my favorite thing about the community, for sure. I think it's one of the best out there. It probably is honestly the best community.
Minimal drama.
Yeah, we know fantasy football a little more intense over there, but there's nothing like doing shows like this. And it's been so long since I talked to you guys. Hell, I haven't been on your guys' show in a couple of years. It's great to be on the air with the Triple Play crew. Make sure you follow them all over the place. Triple Play Fantasy at Trip Play Fantasy, I believe, is the Twitter X hashtag handle. Oh my God, what an embarrassment. I'm ashamed of myself. And then there's individually everybody here on the screen. You can see their follows. Make sure you do all that. Art, Marty, Doc, and DeMendy. Gentlemen, we're here to talk baseball today. And right now, just to be topical, Aaron Judge got hit on the hand. Who is the most paranoid about this moment?
Not me, because I have zero shares of Aaron Judge.
I'm the least.
I was going to say, judging by your reaction, Gauvier, it seems like you're not too worried about it. I'll say that.
I don't give a fuck. I got no shares. I don't care. I am the least sorry for everybody else.
If anything, I have the most to gain from this.
Well, I mean, he's at 25 home runs. He's the top rated fantasy player in baseball this year. The seriousness of this is one I was so ticked off, because he was easily gettable. Like, he was going 11th, 12th, and I had him behind, you know, a lot of players. Trey Turner, definitely. He would have, like, Judge was someone I just was not going for. I thought his injury potential was too high. Hopefully this hand injury doesn't derail what is another epic season from Judge.
Yeah, I was with you on that too, Art. I was in for the exact same reasons. He was on my do not draft list. I believe at the time when we were talking about it, I think his ADP was number 8. And I just wanted nothing to do with that. And I did mention on the show, like, last week or 2 weeks ago, I'm like, he's making me eat my words, because he probably watches the show and probably got tired of me talking shit about him. And he's got 26 home runs, just went nuclear. So we got Mookie Betts already down 6 to 8 weeks with a broken hand. Hopefully Aaron Judge is not falling right behind him. That would absolutely suck for just the sport of baseball. Facebook.
Buzzkill, man. What a bummer. Phew.
I apologize. No.
I'm looking at it right now. He's not moving his hand. He's shaking it like he's like mad, but you don't see him flex his fingers at all. Like it just stays in like
he
a ball.
He stayed in the game to run the game to run the bases and then came out.
Oh no! That's great news for me, but I'm sad for you, Judge owners. You don't deserve that. People are rostering Judge. I don't like to see you suffer. But when you play in high stakes, you get a little bit more bitter about winning. I do admit that. And if you're playing in big money leagues, when somebody goes down that has the advantage on you, yeah, you celebrate it a bit. I mean, Aaron Judge is worth millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, right? He can wipe his tears with the cash.
I think
his
there
life
is a
fine.
Debate about this and whether it's morally right or wrong, but it's also the opportunity is there.
Ooh.
Like, if the sports books are putting an over-under on props or you're playing in leagues for money, you're not wishing upon this, but it's an opportunity that is set up.
Yeah. That's fair. And look, I just try to keep it real, man. I know that's what people think about. I know I think about it. Mike Virginia, our Oriole whisperer here. Hey, Mike, Norby got pulled from his minor league game tonight. Sounds like Jordan Westberg heading back to the IL. Norby just got sent down.
Yeah, Westberg was running from second to third and ran into Soto, and it looks like he got pulled from that game. So I don't know if this is a kind of a just a just in case Westberg can't go or whatever it may be. But if he's hurt, Norby looks to be the next guy up. So for those of you guys who follow me, I'm a big Connor Norby guy. He was sent down when Jorge Mateo came back up. So. I like Norby. I hope nothing's going on with Westberg. Obviously, he's been arguably our best player all season long, so hoping this injury's not serious.
God, I don't even want to admit this. I really don't, but I did something so dumb, everybody. All of you guys should ridicule me. I somehow ended up spending $52 the week before last in weekly fab on my main event team for NFBC. On Norby, and then he gets sent down on that Tuesday right after that. I knew Mateo was coming back. I don't know how I got stuck on that. It was just time crunch happened. Next thing you know, $52 down the shitter on Connor Norby. That was.
Do you still own him?
No, I.
Oh,
I dropped him
okay.
Because he
yes,
got sent down.
Yes,
and moved
that's
him. Yeah.
That's the ridicule part. Because if you had him and he got called up, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Somebody might spend six this week.
Right.
Do we want to have our honesty hour to say our worst fab bid of the season so far?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear it, buddy.
Go for it.
I'll start it off. I bid $129 on Ben Brown, and he made two starts, and he's on the IL. So, yeah,
not.
Mine is very simple. Victor Scott, the second, $156 in Fab. Thank you. Mm. Thank you so much.
Wow.
So go ahead. Put on some old sad bastard music. See if I care.
Yeah, let's say.
For mine.
I
was in the top 10 in TGFBI, but I had like $870 in Fab, which was like second in my league. So I felt the need to spend, and I overspent on Joey Estes last week because he had a two start week, and I took a gamble, and there was no Ooh. Runner up bid for him. $79.
How much did you spend?
Because I just felt like I needed to spend at a certain point. It's so funny. Adam, I'm higher than all of you in TGFBI. I'm higher than all of you in TGFBI. Get out of here.
Who's next? Anybody else?
Yeah, I think my worst is Robert Gasser. I spent a lot on him in a few different leagues, and he was pitching pretty well, and I thought I was going to be able to ride him for a while, but arm injuries come up, and so injuries are what killed my biggest spend. Most of my big spends have worked out pretty well, though. Jackson Merrill I got because I needed a shortstop because I had Matt McClain at the beginning of the season. And Merrill's worked out pretty well as a shortstop, mostly because of his batting average. Yeah. Collective soul. Is that collective soul? No.
Very good, Art. Nice ear. Wow. Yeah, exactly. Well done.
Yeah.
We couldn't do diddly poo offensively.
You love Collective Soul. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, man. That's a great song.
That is a great song. Let me think about that for an hour. I'll get back to you on that one. I mean, it was a big deal. I remember it, but it was pretty typical, like, 90s.
Yeah. I totally agree with you on that. I had the single. You remember singles of Collective
yeah.
Soul. Bought it from the gas station at the corner that I could walk to on my street. I had that single. So
nice.
It was for sale for like $4 or $5. So it was like the one song that I recognized on the for sale rack there. So I mean,
singles.
Yeah. So that it just goes to show my theory that every music you like has a story behind it. Every artist you come up with a story. At least that's for me. Collective Soul, I think, is great because I was able to find a single of them when I was 12 or 13.
What remember a genius.
Remember like Tower Records when you could go up to, I don't know if you guys have those, or a Best Buy where you guys live, and you could take the CD and you could scan it underneath, and then you could put the headphones on and listen to yes. the actual song before you bought it.
Yes.
Or the EP that came out. So
the height of technology at the time.
Yeah. But my worst bid was Christian Scott. I spent like $130 on him, and obviously made a couple starts and then got sent down foolishly by the Mets. And I'm still questioning and wondering why the Mets have not brought him back up. But who knows?
Wow. Oh, man. It's a tough day at the office here.
Wow, dude.
I appreciate everyone's honesty here. The Blotso Podcast, 2 L's, 2 Z's.
Utah.
Triple Play Fantasy Crew's up in here. Marty, Art, Doc, and D. Mendy. And we're talking about our biggest mistakes in life. Yes. Fab mistakes are life mistakes. And if you make them, you will be ridiculed and you should be punished accordingly. Shamed, as D. Mendy stated so eloquently. Art, you also showed your age with the Collective Soul commentary, which I appreciate. Yeah. Appreciate you coming out here and being direct. I'll match you. I am old enough that in 1995, I had the CD. I bought the CD for a song called Cumbersome. I hear me good. That was a, you remember the band who did that one?
Oh gosh. No, you're going to say it and it's going to, but I don't remember the
anybody
name.
Anybody else jump in. Take a shot.
It's like right here. It's on the tip of my tongue and I cannot
think of it. I'm the youngest one on the show. There's no way I know.
Seven Mary
Three. Hey, man. Three? I know Led Zeppelin songs, you know. But
is
yeah.
Seven Mary fair. Three.
Hey! Woohoo!
Is that right? Is that right? Yeah.
Wait, who was it? Yeah.
Seven Mary Three.
Oh, yeah, I was way off.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Eddie loves it. Nice call. Yeah, Eddie's into it. He said it was Mary something something. That's close. So. Yeah. anyway, you guys can ask questions. You have 6 elite baseball minds up in here. So this is an opportunity to exploit all of us for answers. EA All Day 8 says, thoughts on Helio Ramos. Is it Helio or Heliot? I haven't heard the pronunciation. I honestly don't know.
I think they say Elliot, actually.
Oh, shit. Really?
Like the H okay. is silent. Yeah. Elliot Ramos.
Oh. Elliot. Like E.T. Elliot.
yeah. Like E.T.
So, Elliot Ramos, sell high or hashtag ride the wave.
I'm his advanced metrics look pretty good. I don't think he's going to be this good, but I've always been a proponent on if you can address multiple positions and you can shop him out for somebody who maybe just lost Mookie Betts or maybe lost a guy like Aaron Judge or something along those lines, shop him out there and dangle him and see what you can get. You know, like you can see on the screen here, he doesn't strike out a whole lot. His walk percentage is great. So, you know, I don't think he's going to give you much in the stolen base department, but he's a four by five kind of guy. Average runs, home runs, RBIs. So I'm all about shopping him, see what you can get for him. Like I said, he's good, but I don't think he's going to be this good all season long. But interested to hear y'all's takes too.
Yeah, I want to put this up to the group. So I'm looking at fan graphs, looking at his rest of season projections. Let's do the Bad X. I prefer that one just because I do. 7 home runs, 4 stolen bases. Over or under 7 home runs? Start with you, Mike. You think he's got 7 more bombs left in him?
Yeah. I'm going to take the over.
David?
Yeah, he's got 9 already. And he's only played in, he only had 156 plate appearances. So if I had to project today, I would say like 18 or 19 is where I would probably put it.
Yeah, 18 more?
18 total. Like 18 okay. or 19 total.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm with David on that. But I think he's showing a somewhat high ceiling. And unless you could get something in return, I kind of like keeping those guys that have a high. Like, you likely picked him up maybe for nothing or for little fab. I wouldn't trade someone that has that potential unless you're getting somewhat of a need or a commodity in return.
Aim high, Willis. Aim high.
He hits hard. He hits the ball hard. I mean, he's top 4% in exit velocity. He's got a nearly a 60% hard hit percentage. Obviously, those aren't going to stay that high, but it's not like this is lucky. Like, his expected slug is 556 or 567. Expected, or his WOBA is 421. Expected WOBA of 394. Like, these are all elite numbers. Walk rate near 11%.
Yeah, but it's the K rate. We got to be. Mm-hmm. That's why I would try to sell high if you can. Yeah, oh. You're striking out 29% of the time almost. It's like,
I mean,
we're seeing with Ellie De La Cruz right now. He can be incredible, right? And then there's a month and a half where he can't even hit the ball because that's just his profile. So there's ups and downs to it. I don't think he's going to be anywhere near, you know, 2.7. I think it'll be like a 260 hitter when it's all said and done.
You're locked in, Marty.
Marty, look at his expected batting average stats, though. His expected batting average against the fastball is 276. His expected batting average against breaking pitches is even better at 285. And then his expecting batting average on off-speed pitches is 291. So across the board, he's got a 276 expected BA or above on all those three pitches. So definitely regressing from where he's at. But he's also not going to be a 320 hitter with a 484 OBP. You know, I think we all know he's going to step back, but can he be a 270 hitter and hit close to 20 home runs? I think that's valuable. So even if he regresses, I still think there's room for him to be a very valuable contributor.
Yeah, I just always – he's 24 years old, first time – you know, I know he's been through the majors a little bit in 2022, 2023, but once they – you know, teams start game planning for him, that strikeout rate is going to catch up to him. I'm not saying he's not useful. Like, I have him around a 260 hitter. I think he'll hit seven home runs.
I can't believe
right.
I'm saying this. I agree with David.
I just would try to sell high.
David, I can't believe this. I agree with you.
What are we agreeing to that he's because I'm saying he'll hit like seven more home runs and he'll bat around 260.
I guess that I'm not as worried about the K rate. If there is a thing I'm worried about, it's a 429 BABIP. But like 28.8, that's high. But like the strikeout rate is higher. It's a true three outcome game. Aaron Judge strikes out over 25% of the time this year. And that's kind of an afterthought. I think as long as you're hitting the ball hard and you provide some power upside, you know, guys like Brent Rooker. I'm just saying I don't think I would sell high on him or that. I think he's going to come crashing down. I think there is some regression, but I really like what I see out of him.
I think there's power regression. You look at his launch angle's low. His ground ball rate is very high. He's got 17 barrels on the season. 9 of them have turned into home runs. And the strikeout rate for a guy who hits the ball on the ground over 50% of the time with only like a 25% fly ball rate, I think the power has kind of been, you know, an outlier on what he's done so far this season. I like the fact that his walk rate is going up and his chase rate is going down, meaning he's recognizing the zone a little bit better. So I think he has a chance to hold it. But I think we're seeing the best of what he can do as a hot streak to start off his career. I don't think he's that great of a hitter, but I do think that there's room for him to carve out a full-time position for the rest of the season in San Francisco. I don't think he's that good. I think 260 would be, like, if he hits 260 for the rest of the way, I think that'd be like a really good outcome for him.
Shit.
Well, so are we all in agreement that he's going to hit over seven home runs? I think Marty set the over under at seven. Are we all in agreement that that's definitely doable for him?
I'll take the under. I'm going to take the under. Just a zig or zag. That's his zag.
Fiction can be fun. Well, we'll do some more player battles. We'll bring that up for sure. I love that, Marty. Thank you for bringing that up. That was badass, and you led the show. See, these are all professionals. Everyone on the show right now can actually host the show. That's what's so amazing about this setup. Oh, look who's here. It's Santa Claus, Sam Worshing, in the house from his hot dog phone. And he already said his connection may blow. Oh, yep. Okay, it does. Perfect. Great. Anyways, Sam, let us know. Talk if you can talk. We'll listen to you if you talk. But we have also some sad news. The legend himself, Willie Mays has passed away, folks.
Oh,
the legend.
No.
It's a big moment. This is a legendary player, one of the greatest players in MLB history, period.
I know he had just declined going to Birmingham, Alabama for the Negro League game that's going to be Thursday night.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was going to be that bad. Wow. RIP to a true legend.
That's what Chad said right here. I'm very sad now on the day of the Rickwood MLB. The minor league game's happening today when Thursday is the MLB game that Willie couldn't attend and that he would pass away. Well, you know, if anything, it'll be a time to reflect on Willie's career while the light is shined on this Negro League game. That's great. I mean, in that respect, I'm happy for it. And we'll get to talk about Willie Mays' legacy and what he meant to the game and how great of a baseball player Willie Mays was. He was a badass.
Is him, Bill Walton, and Jerry West have all passed within the same month? Like,
Oh my God, like you're right.
It's kind of like people we grew up are, and it's not like anything is super tragic. They're all like somewhat of an old age. It's kind of, I don't know, kind of hits you.
We didn't grow up watching Jerry West and Bill Walton.
No, but you saw, but they were commentators, like people that you knew ran teams and organizations.
They're all icons. There's no doubt about it, for different reasons.
Right.
Sam, you want to try to talk again?
Yeah, can you hear me this time?
Yep. You can. Woo-hoo! Yeah.
All right. How you gentlemen doing?
We're doing, looking man. Good. How's it going?
Just slinging dog food, man, and watching baseball.
Dang, nothing better.
What game you got on?
Bryce Miller looking good today, Sam.
The Mariners are looking good, you know. They set up their pitching and swept Texas, and you know, in spite of them not having the best offense in the world, they seem to be playing to their park strengths and their lineup strengths. And if JP Crawford comes around and starts hitting the ball, Luke Rayleigh keeps hitting the ball, Mitch Garver turns around, like their shit could be on fire. This could be a really scary team to watch, but I don't want to jinx it, so I'm just going to shut my mouth.
I saw an interesting trade proposal. Somebody said that they'd like to see Pete Alonso possibly go to Seattle to make a playoff push. How do you feel about that, Sam?
Let's go. So I think Lazaro Montas, Harry Ford are the only two minor leaguers that I wouldn't want to trade. I just think their upside is just so immense, and what we're seeing, I'm happy to trade the farm. I'd like to see Pete Alonso. I've heard the Mariners linked to Jazz Chisholm. I've heard him linked to Luis Robert. Like, let's go. Let's make something happen. Let's bring in a couple extra bats. And Pete Alonso would be amazing because his power plays at any park in the major leagues. And so he comes to a Safeco, and I don't think it's going to, you know, hurt him as badly as it might somebody else. So,
yeah.
Well, Chad says Pete's going to Kansas City. Going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. Joe says the Mariners farm system is stocked and stacked. Both those are good things, right? If you're stacked and stocked.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Sam, you run a pet store, so being stocked is important to you.
Oh, man. Pilot high and let it fly.
Oh, no. Your audio's starting to suck. But okay. We got your point across. It's beautiful. We love you. We do. I don't want to speak for everybody. I love you. Sorry.
Nah, not fair for me.
No, you were just breaking up a little bit there, but stick with us because you sound good enough and you look beautiful. And EA All Day 8's telling us Walker Buehler just gave up 4 runs in the first inning at
Coors.
There it is. Everybody knows. Everybody knew this week that we had 7 home games at Coors because everybody who plays fantasy baseball knows when there are home games at Coors Field every week. And EA says, I know he's mega talented, but not sure I can hold him in 12-team or fewer. This is actually a great one. Gentlemen, I'd love to get everyone's commentary and feedback because Walker Buehler is a hot topic in the fact that he has been elite in the past, coming back from injury, long layoff, 30 years old. He's not a spring chicken anymore. Tell me, where does he fit in your plans? Is this a guy that should be rostered in 12 teamers no matter what? 10 teamers? Because he doesn't play that way right now.
This is a good question that I kind of want to piggyback off this one here, Gove, because I get this a lot in terms of guys like Randy Arozarena, who, by the way, hit a home run today and is starting to show some signs of life here. But I've gotten this question a lot with guys like Walker Buehler, Randy Arozarena, guys you probably drafted within the top 50, 60 picks, right? Maybe not Walker Buehler because he was hurt to start the season, but he's a top 100 guy when healthy or showed potential of that. And I've gotten this question a lot in terms of just straight dropping these guys because their production hasn't been there. And Walker Buehler for me is a guy. I just think his talent is too good to just flat out drop. You know, for me personally, I'm not looking to flat out drop him. What I am willing to do, though, is wait until he has a solid game where he gives, you know, a kind of a stellar performance, maybe a 7, 8, 9, 10K strikeout performance. He plays for the Dodgers, and then look to sell him and try to move on from him and get anything that you can. But interested to hear y'all's takes, too. I just don't feel comfortable dropping a guy like this, just flat out dropping him for a guy that's sitting in a 12, especially in a 12, 14, 15 team league. I don't know if there's going to be anything that you can pivot to and say, hey, I'm going to get something a lot better than Walker Buehler. I just like the upside of Buehler that I'm not willing to straight drop. So
I don't think you can drop him anything that's deeper, like a 14, 15 man league. Like, you definitely can't drop him in those leagues. If I'm in a 12 team league, I'm pretty much on my last leg with him because we're approaching about the midpoint of the fantasy season. And at this point right now, unless I'm in first place or the top of the league where I have the room to wait, if I need that roster spot to stream somebody, especially like in a league where you have like inning pitch capped or you have starting pitching, like a starter cap or anything like that, I just can't have that roster spot being clogged on my bench. I need to be able to get pitchers that are producing. I have to take the chance if obviously he does turn it around that I am giving up on that. But at the same time, if he goes the next 5 or 6 starts where he's unusable and I'm getting 5 or 6 streamers that are giving me like a 3.5 ERA with a K per nine, to me at this point in the year, I can't give that stuff up just because I'm hoping for him. Obviously, I think if you are thinking of dropping him, what I would recommend doing is try to look at best you can his upcoming matchups and determine how long it would be before you feel comfortable starting him. If it's like 4 or 5 matchups that you're not playing him, you got to drop him.
He played Tuesday at Chicago White Sox. That's about an ideal matchup.
You got it. I mean, you probably would win. But he plays next Tuesday, a week. So you could have skipped this one. You could have sat him in Colorado.
But
you should have.
I would try and trade him after that start. I would try and trade him after that start because I don't think he's somebody I would even start in a 15-team league. He's gone 8 outings, including tonight, and he's given up 2 at least in 7 out of the 8, and 3 or more in 6 out of the 8. He's gone at least 4 out of the 8 times and has more than 5 Ks once. So that to me is a very low ceiling. And if I know someone is going to pitch to like a 4 or 5 ERA, like his ERA is at 4.64 before tonight, I just don't see the upside. And I was a huge Walker Buehler stan back in the day. But I think 2 Tommy John surgeries just cooked him.
What about this one, Doc? Real quick.
Yes.
Drop Buehler for Reese Olson?
Yeah, I would. I would.
That's like the territory we're at, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Buehler as like a team streamer, to Mike's point from earlier, he's a Dodgers pitcher. He's only given up. This is the first time he's given up more than 3 earned runs in a game. So I don't necessarily have the doom and gloom on him. I think he's not as good as we thought he was going to be, but as like you could have skipped this game and you would definitely pick Buehler up to start at Chicago White Sox next week, unless he's like injured or something like that. I think he'd be picked up in a league if you dropped him for next week.
I do too. Sure.
Yeah. I think he could be in that sort of like team streamer range where it's like he's on your roster and you start him some weeks and some weeks you don't. That's where I'd be with him right now.
Let's play a game. Yeah. Let's play a game.
Yeah.
I'm on ESPN. What do you think Walker Buehler's roster percentage on ESPN is? Whoever can get the closest without going over wins.
This doesn't count because I see it.
Oh, you
95.
See it?
Right.
You can't play then. All right. Marty, 95?
Yeah.
All right. Mike VA?
I'm going 90% even.
90%? Cheesecake?
79.
Going down, Govier?
I'm going to say 91.
91. Ooh. Sam, what do you think?
That's not me for me, 92.
92? Oh. Well, you all lost. His roster percentage is 59.5.
Holy shit.
Yikes.
Well, man. I guess they're not going by name recognition on ESPN.
But it makes sense. I mean, his stuff is down all across the board. I mean, it's just possible he's not the same pitcher anymore after two Tommy Johns. The velocity's not there. If anything, if you're in a league where you can trade on name value alone, find the Dodger fan, whomever it is, I think you're kind of, you can peddle him off. But let's kind of take a look. So he goes at the he's at the White Sox. I would try that. Next is versus Arizona at home, versus Milwaukee, and then at Detroit.
Is it safe to say if you have Walker Buehler and he goes and stinks it up to Chicago White Sox, that's it? Is that
yeah.
the final nail in the coffin?
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
Not a 15-team league.
Yeah, that's a good point. But here's the other part of it, too. I don't know if you're going to be able to just straight swap him for somebody in your league. I think he can be part of a trade. I'm not saying that you can flip him for a guy that you're just going to be straight up like, hey, give me a guy who's ranked in the top 30 right now. You know what I mean? Like, I think he can be part of a trade. Maybe a guy who needs starting pitching. You package him with a hitter or something along those lines to find another starting pitcher. I don't know. But for me, and this is just how I approach guys who are struggling, is the first and foremost is I'm just going to try to shop him. And if somebody takes him, thank you. And if he doesn't, then I'm looking to trade looking to drop him. So that's just my approach in terms of the hierarchy, in terms of what I do with players.
Might be a John Gray situation tonight. By the way,
yeah. Oh, jeez. Yeah, I gave up two.
Anybody have John Gray last night? Anybody pissed about that?
I played against him, so I was enjoying every minute of it. Yeah.
Oh, woo-hoo! Yeah. Yeah, we were all way off. That's fine. That was a fun game to play, though. That's what we do here at the Palazzo Podcast. Triple play fantasy together, united. And it feels so good to be together as one. We got player battles. We got discussions about anybody you want to bring up in the chat. That's what it's here for. I would like to give an opportunity, because some of us made the effort, to talk about our, give me two.
Utah, give me two.
One pitcher, one hitter, a little thing we do on the show from time to time. Art, would you like to start off because you were so motivated?
Yeah, I wanted to start by talking about one of my old favorites, a guy who's not rostered very high in a 12-team and possibly available in your 15-team leagues. That's Carlos Santana with Minnesota, who has been one of the best hitters in baseball over the past couple of weeks, and turning it on for a Minnesota team that's actually starting to hit really well in recent time. They are in June, they are the, I think, seventh best offense in baseball by WRC+. And Santana has been a big part of that. So I like what he's doing. And the thing about it is he's 38, and what's happened is he's hitting the ball with the same zone contact rate. His fly ball rate is pretty much the same as it's always been. And what you're getting is same old Carlos Santana. And that is a pretty valuable player at this point in the season, someone who's going to provide you with some power and play in a good offense. 20-some home runs at the end of the season, I think, is not tough to prognosticate.
Art, but I heard this is not the first time you brought up Carlos Santana, by the way. This is a long, torrid love affair from what I hear.
Yeah, they really do.
Well, I have a tattoo of him. I had the temerity to draft him like 40 picks over his ADP in 2019 when he had that big bounce back season. And because it was a points league, and he had, you know, Santana's well known for having that walk rate, and he was coming back to Cleveland. I thought, this is the marriage made in heaven. Santana's going to have a great season. He did. I had a great season with my team that year, and a lot of it was because I got Santana, who was like the fourth best player in all points in 2019, something like that. So
I love rumors.
Yeah.
rumors spreads quickly.
Do you indeed have a tattoo of Carlos Santana on you somewhere?
I don't. If I did, it would be the guitarist. But
there you go. Yeah.
You guys remember when he was a catcher? Long time ago.
Yep. Yes. That's a great call. That's a flashback. Yeah. I think Art should pick up the phone and call the tattoo artist immediately. Get your ass over there. Let's make this a reality. We'll even live stream it, man. Let's make it happen. Let's do this.
Pick up the phone and start dialing.
Anything content, baby. I'll do it.
Oh, yeah. Contentwhores.com. We love it. We love it. I do want to get other people. So Carlos Santana, I like that. I have him on a few leagues, depending on context. Deeper leagues, usually. Nothing I think the 14 teamers and deeper are where I have Santana, where I do have him. Nothing shallower than that. Anybody else like to throw out a hitter, a pitcher they'd like to offer up to the fantasy baseball gods? Yeah.
I want to hear everybody's thoughts on this. Are we back on the Hunter Brown bandwagon? Is he good now?
Yes!
Let's discuss.
Yes. He had a terrible, terrible start to the year. A lot of bad luck, bad command, but he is locked in now. And just like last year when he had a 5 ERA, but he had a 3.74 Sierra, I'm pretty sure that's all true. Now he's back on track, and you're going to get the best part of Hunter Brown rest of season. I want it all. I want him all, everywhere, anyhow, anytime.
Yeah, and speaking of the White Sox, he gets them tomorrow, I believe. So another really, really good matchup for him.
I'm not so sure that's as great a matchup as it's been lately. The White Sox have been a little better hitting-wise, I'm just saying. But I love Hunter Brown still.
They're still dead last in runs, and I still want every piece of that pie as possible. So, and the White Sox are just a dumpster fire. But I'm trying to bring up his stats over the last month. Over the last month, he's thrown 31 innings. He's 2-1, 35 strikeouts, 1.74 ERA, and a 0.84 WHIP. So, I mean, a month is a strong sample size. And with the White Sox tomorrow, I mean, I think he's going to add to that. So,
yep.
Anybody else? What do you guys think?
I was burned by him because I drafted him, held on to him for a lot, and then he kind of killed me. So I actually traded him straight up for Marcus Stroman, and which actually worked out well for a while. But I mean, the thing is, his fastball had been so hittable. I haven't looked deep into him to give a strong opinion either way because I've kind of distanced myself from him, but. What has been the biggest change to you guys to make you confident in him? Has it been a velo increase? Has it been pitch mix change? Like what has you buying this bounce back from him?
Pitch mix. He hasn't been throwing the four seam as much. He's been throwing the splitter, or I have to go back and look at it.
The two seamer. He's really gotten in. I believe it's the two seamer's really helped him take off here with this change, getting back to that. And it's a really good pitch for him from what I heard the other day.
I think one of the things you like about him is he for sure has the opportunity with all the pitcher injuries to the Astros, and he plays on a good offense. He could get, you know, give up four earned, but you know he's going at least five innings, will give you a decent amount of strikeouts, and has a good chance to get a win. And I think to somewhat the point of Walker Buehler, if you have a guy that you know is going to eat innings with how much pitchers have gotten hurt this year, I think that's value. In some sense,
yes.
Sinkers and cutters are what he's throwing more. Less of the fastball. So and that's led to a lot of his recent success. So to your point earlier, Mendy, I think you brought it up too, is that the fastball is just so hittable. So the fact that he's mixing some things up, and I think people will adjust at some point. But for right now, I mean, it's hard not to buy in on Hunter Brown and what he's doing. So I'm in. And he's got a strong CSW as well.
Anybody else on Hunter Brown? Yes or no?
If he's in a 12-team league or deeper, I definitely would make sure he's picked up.
Yeah. He's been too good.
Yes. We got so many questions here. The live chat is bumping, as they say. By the way, we're at 799 YouTube subscribers. Who wants to be number 800? Come on. Who wants to help us on our quest to 1,000? We are due. We are going to get there. Come on. Come on now. Come on. YouTube subscribers, we love you. Don't forget to like this video, too, and make sure you follow Triple Play Fantasy on YouTube. They got like 10,000. They got like a million. They're huge. They're massive. So we're just itty-pitty, and we're grateful that they're on the show with us. And, wow, I mean, I'm starstruck. I am starstruck right now! Oh, you're sweet. What a sweet man. So Davey Funnel, I brought it up there. The Aaron Judge is going to get looked at by the doctor now, so this will be a whole thing, blah, 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 blah. And, yeah, that's a problem. There is Gerrit Cole interest. Anybody have anything to add? Or is anyone concerned that Gerrit Cole will return, maybe pitch well, but then get hurt again because of those elbow injuries? We saw Kyle Bradish. He came back, and then we lost him again. Anybody anti-Gerrit Cole or interested in trading him after the fact?
I've been out since he. Yeah, I've been out since he hurt himself. I don't understand why people are like. It's funny because people are like, "Oh, Jordan Romano," and we've seen so many elbow issues that have happened. Kyle Bradish, another solid one as well. But it seems like Garrett Cole's on the separate side of that, and be like, elbow injuries don't apply to Garrett Cole because he was a first round talent. So I have concerns. I'm big on selling him now and get out from underneath that rock. The Yankees want him around because obviously he's the ace of their staff. They're one of the best teams in baseball. But are we sure that the elbow injury is completely behind him? Gavin Williams is another example, right? Like, we haven't seen too many guys bounce back from an elbow injury and just put it in the rear view and be good. If you're in a league that where you like maybe you lack hitting, I'd be looking maybe to trade Garrett Cole and dangle him and see what you can get. But I'm interested to hear your guys' thoughts, too. I know he's a first-round talent, but I don't think that elbow injury is going away.
You could not ask for a more noble cause than that.
I love it. I do not think him is who you think he is. I think that human nature plays into this, though. If you've been holding on to Garrett Cole for so long and managed to keep him this far into the season – You want whatever goodness he's going to be able to give you. I think you're right to want to trade him because track record this year is an elbow injury, any sort of arm injury. It's no one comes back and does well. I mean, hopefully Brian Wu, who seems to have like a minor elbow tweak every week, but still pitches. Maybe that's what we can hope for from.
I think one of the things you have to factor in with Garrett Cole too is. The Yankees offense has suddenly been decimated by injuries. If Aaron Judge is serious, Rizzo's out 4 to 6 weeks. Juan Soto, we just thought was going to be out for an extended period of time. All of a sudden, that offense isn't nearly as scary, and he's not having the win upside that we think he's going to get this year.
Are you really listening to this show on the crapper? If you are, that's fine. Plato Podcast will be right back.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Anybody else? Objections? Anybody have a hard-on for Garrett Cole?
I'm completely out on him just because of the elbow injury. But what I'd want to see, are you playing him versus Baltimore? First game back? Yikes.
I'm saying it now. Gunner's going to hit a leadoff. But my team sucks.
Nobody says woo around here except me.
That is true.
I think it's safe to say we all are probably out on having Garrett Cole. The question is, though, if you drafted him, wherever you got him in your draft, what are you realistically selling him for? Like, if someone is in a position, they're watching right now, and they're like, I have Garrett Cole, I want to get out from under him, as Mike said, and I agree with you. Like, what should you realistically be willing to accept? Like, what range of pitcher are we talking about? Like, if someone offers you Jose Barrios.
Would you take him for Tanner Houck?
Are you taking Jose Barrios?
No. I'm not taking Barrios or Houck for Cole. I'd aim higher and work my way down.
I'd probably be aiming for a hitter.
What is the realistic target that you feel like you would try? Like, give me like a couple names of people.
Jose Ramirez, yeah.
Like, I saw someone in the chat put Jose Ramirez a smash. Pete Alonso a smash. I saw that in the chat. Like
Christopher Sanchez.
I would do that.
No way.
I'm hammering accept. I love Christopher Sanchez.
I think these are completely unrealistic for Garrett.
Yeah, Cole, maybe though. I'm overshooting it, but I'm thinking.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't accept that on the end. I wouldn't Bradley, even entertain it.
I'd rather really? Have Taj Bradley rest the season.
Well, really? That was the name I was going to bring up. It's Taj Bradley.
Yeah. I'd take
Garrett so straight
Cole.
Up. Do I the trade
as my one of the give me two guys.
Hmm. Utah, give me two.
Oh, Tanner so Bibee.
Taj and somebody is what you'd take.
I'd take Bibee over Cole.
Yeah. Yeah, I would take Bibee.
Yeah, I would
over
do
Cole
it.
Too.
Do you think there's any chance Tanner Bibee wins the Cy Young? But just no. like even a 1%
I don't
chance.
Know if our bet's hitting, Eric.
No. Because there's a guy hitting. Named Tarek Skubal in our hometown here where me and Marty live. So, sorry.
A sportsbook offered me a cash out of a $10 Tanner Bibee Cy Young bet. And I was like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't take it. But now it sounds like.
Take the cash.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're basically offering to cash out all of my bets now or void it. So.
Okay. Well, this is Dynasty, by the way, here. Sam saying a young pitcher, maybe Shane McClanahan. We've been talking, by the way, strictly, I think, in redraft terms. When you mention a player like this, that's getting into Dynasty. But we're kind of focusing on the redraft value of Cole this year.
I take Sam's word for on a Dynasty, though. I think that'd be a good target. Shane McClanahan for a Dynasty, I think, sounds pretty good target for Cole.
Would you trade Marcus Semien? If you needed a hitter, would you trade Marcus Semien to get or trade Garrett Cole to get Marcus Semien?
I think that's a
I'd
good trade.
I take Semien.
Yeah,
I think Semien east side easy.
Yeah,
I like that. That's not bad at all. We also Sam says if Sam left, by the way, he says goodbye to everybody. He had a crappy connection. If you are still in the top 3 to 5 in your league, you have to hold on and find out. If you aren't, trade Cole to someone in that range that we're talking about. Maybe this guy. What about Wyatt Langford, who hit his first career over-the-fence home run? Congratulations, he finally did it. June 18th, 2024, Wyatt Langford's first true major league homer. But that's a decent trade. What about Paul Skeens? Would you trade Cole for Skeens?
Yes.
Yes?
Oh, I'd take Skeens.
Yes.
Innings limits
all day.
Yeah.
Are you guys Cole concerned has no innings this year, though.
I was going to say, are you guys concerned about the innings limit that they're going to eventually slap on Skeens? But if we're talking Dynasty, I'd rather have Skeens over Cole.
I mean,
if we're talking redraft.
In a roto league, I want Paul Skeens. For the next month or two, he's going to pitch. So that's going to help your ratio.
He's going to give you elite numbers now, for however how long he pitches.
Head to head.
He's the best strikeout pitcher in baseball right now.
That's true.
Like, since
what was
he got
that,
called
say
up,
that again?
I was going to say, head-to-head, that's when it actually gets really interesting. But I would still rather have Skeens. I'm not taking a chance with Cole. And Skeens could be he could be a first round, like the first pitcher off the board next year. I don't think it's impossible.
Gove, what do you think? We've given our thoughts on Cole here. What's your plan with him? Do you have any shares? And if you did, what would you do with him?
I'm the facilitator. I'm Jason Kidd, you know. I'm Mookie Blaylock, you know. Favorite point guard of all time. Go, everybody.
Steve
Gilbert,
Nash.
Gilbert Arenas.
Steve Nash.
Chauncey Billups.
Did someone say Gilbert Arenas? Who said Gilbert Arenas? Did someone say
that
just now?
I did.
Get that. He's not a point guard. Oh,
what are you talking about?
On.
He brought the ball up every play for the Wizards. Now, is he traditional?
How many times
no.
he pass it? Yeah, how many times he pass it off when he brought it up? That's
not
funny.
Many.
I know Doc knows his NBA. So,
David, you said Steve Nash?
Yeah.
I said Steve Nash.
Yeah, I think he's the favorite one.
I didn't know you were a Steve Nash guy.
Was that bad?
I mean, yeah.
He's just never a Steve Nash fan. I knew he was a Paul Pierce guy. Never knew he was a Steve
Nash.
Yeah,
he asked what his favorite point guard is, not small forward.
That's true.
That's
very true.
You compliment Steve Nash once in your life. We can continue.
What a bizarre commentary. That's fine. But okay, well, so no. Garrett Cole for me. Yeah, I have Garrett Cole in my home league, which is 14 team head-to-head cats. Okay, and I'm a dead last. Oh, it's terrible. I had the worst start ever, man. Guys like Randy Rosarena, Bo Bichette, kiss my ass. He's on the IL now, by the way. So many guys who got off to the worst starts this year all on one team. Hunter Brown was originally on that team, and now I brought him back for the good times. But that team's cashed, and it's 8 keepers, guys. So there's no limitations. There's no round exchange. It's just keep forever 8 guys, unlimited. Garrett Cole's 33, 34,
33, right? Something like that, yeah.
How much longer would anybody keep Garrett Cole in that situation? 14-team head-to-head Cats, 5x5, standard issue. Is anybody excited about keeping him? Or
I would keep him until he proves he's not Garrett Cole anymore. You don't know. Like, Justin Verlander's still rosterable, and we're talking 5 years later. I'd stick with him.
I agree. He's 33, by the way.
30, okay. Oh, Nick Van Exel. Hell yeah. Now we're talking. That is a hardcore motherfucker. That guy was a badass at Cincinnati. When he went up against the Fab Five in the 90s, that was basketball. That was a lot of fun. Good call. Bizza Rizza Jizza. Anybody in the end think that Garrett Cole, even if he gets hurt, you can't keep a guy like that if he goes. If he ends up having Tommy John, we're talking a year and a half. That's not keepable, even with eight keepers.
Yeah. He's such an extreme talent, though. I would think he's rosterable. He's the type of guy that maybe doesn't throw as hard, but just has a good IQ, has good ball placement.
No, but for keepers, you got to have eight guys more than Cole. If he's on Tommy John, you put him back in the draft pool, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
You got to have eight guys more than that. Yeah. Throw him in the pool. He can't swim because his arms hurt.
But do you think that's where we're trending? Do you think that's where we're trending with him right now? I mean, I know that when he originally hurt himself, that the injury scare and the Tommy John was kind of off the table. But we're talking third week of June here of him getting his first start. Are we concerned, especially in a keeper league? Are you concerned that that's inevitable within the next year or two with Garrett Cole? I mean, that's what makes Garrett Cole. By the way, is His velocity, his pitch mix, like,
yeah,
I don't see that elbow hanging on. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I'm not a doctor, but just from the track record, like we've hammered this point all night tonight.
That's putting it mildly.
Yeah,
you're not Dr. Dave.
No,
no.
We should get him on here. He would know.
Oh, I love Dr. Dave, a close personal friend of mine. He does my annual checkups, including the prostate check and all the butthole stuff. So thank you, Dr. Dave, for that. I love you for that. He's very gentle. He's got a sweet touch. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
This Dave, by the way, not that Dave. This is Davey Funnel, a great guy, by the way. Must follow. If you're focused on fantasy baseball and you're looking for injury updates, Davey Funnel is like the guy to follow. I'm telling you. He's diligent. He's reliable. I personally worked with him when I first got in this business a lifetime ago at a place called Roto Fanatic, which was a short-lived thing, but we were there, me and Davey together, man, a long time ago, and I love Davey to this day. And his point here is this. Kyle Bradish had a sprain while Garrett Cole had nerve inflammation. No clue, though, if one would lead to more safety than the other, just pointing out the difference. And that should be notable.
Yeah, it's not tendon inflammation. Nerve inflammation seems like the tendons, the ligaments are okay. If it's a nerve thing, I don't know. I'm no doctor. But aren't we usually worried about tendons? We're usually worried about elbows and shoulders. And not
run away, join WWF. I'm a bad guy.
I'm a bad
guy. Run away? I'd run away.
Yeah, I think you can't really worry until you see some reason to worry. If they're bringing him back, they obviously think he's ready to go, but. But I would be concerned because things like the arm issues have been there have no good outcomes this year. They all seem to be going bad.
Did you guys have any, like, when this whole thing was going down with his elbow? Like, did anybody think to themselves like there is something that they're not leading on to with this? Like, they're not giving us the whole pie here. They're just giving us little slivers of it, and then it came out that he had nerve inflammation. Like, are we positive we're 100% trusting that it's just nerve inflammation? Nerve inflammation, and you miss, you know, close to half the season already. That's, I'm again not a doctor, but that seems like something to be concerned about.
Utah, give me two.
Matthew Z wants Bendy to give him two. There you go.
Give me two.
Hell yeah. Big news for anybody who's down. David Hamilton just entered the game as a pinch runner after leaving last night.
Oh, concerns Eric.
He might hit Eric's the IL. Happy. Yeah?
Oh, Doc, if I'm about people tattooed, Doc has David Hamilton tattooed on
I just gave him credit on the show a couple weeks ago, and David said he wasn't a valuable pickup.
I said, Eric, you're a David Hamilton stan, aren't you? And then Eric was like, no, I'm not saying that. And then he tried to back off. And
I'm not backtracking. I said he is not level of Nolan Arenado in his prime that I loved, that's what I would classify as a stan. I think I like David Hamilton more than the average person.
Okay. Well, he entered the game tonight as a pinch runner.
Doctors say he's got a 50-50 chance of living. Though there's only a 10% chance of that.
So we'll see what happens with that. That's good news. MP31 wants to know, Josh Smith or Luis Rengifo, folks? Josh H. Smith, I assume he's discussing, from the Texas Rangers, who has totally blown up my Ezekiel Duran shares this year. But, you know, he's gotten the job done, so that's my life.
I have Josh Smith rostered, so I'm going Josh Smith because I have him on my teams.
They're both day to day, right? 15. Now.
Josh good, Smith started today and hit a 3-run homer.
Okay, yeah. Good. Okay, because I put him on my bench. Great. He's been out. He was out the whole week. He was out the whole weekend. Yeah. Rengifo has been playing. He always has day to day next to his name too. But I like Smith. Smith's been hitting pretty well. Got a good batting average this year. And okay. His lineup's better.
Yeah,
fine.
How do we feel about his playing time once Young comes back? Which he's out on a rehab stint right now. I think he just started one.
Josh Young.
Yeah. Yeah. Do we think Smith's playing time takes a step backwards once he's back?
It has to, doesn't it?
I don't know. Texas is struggling. I feel like they'll find a way to play him if he's somewhat hot.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, does anybody not want to do Rendifo? He's got 18 steals.
I personally was on, yeah, I was personally on Rengifo. That was my pick over Smith, just because of the young thing. But I like this. I like the steal upside. He bats in at the upper third. I don't think he's going anywhere. He offers a little bit of everything. So, I was, and the position flexibility is obviously great there as well. So I was Rengifo by hair.
And he's the mascot of Bubba and the Bloom too.
There you go.
I did not know that. Look at you, man. You're everywhere. You're locked in. There's like 80,000 fantasy baseball shows, and you know them all.
I don't know about that. Just know Luis Rendifo's a dog. That's all I know.
I want to be able to punctuate my points with a Law and Order dun-dun.
Oh, well, there you go. You can do it anytime you want. Just tell me.
That's our lock it in sound.
Love the show.
We also had a question about Shane Boz, the Wizard of Baz, the Wizard of Boz. A lot of people talking about him, and he's hanging there at AAA for Tampa Bay. He's at AAA. He's had some dominant outings at AAA. But don't forget, too, Jeffrey Springs is in the mix here now. It's not that simple for Shane Boz to just show up and pitch for Tampa. Right, Marty? Am I a moron?
Potentially, but it wouldn't have anything to do with this, Michael. No. But actually,
locked hey, in. Before That's locked in.
Before we move on Josh Smith, just looking, he's played shortstop, second base, over the last week and a half. Before that, it was all third base, so he may be able to find his way in the playing time.
Okay,
kind of, but more of his utility role, probably not 100% out there. But Michael, Shane Boz, I picked him up in my infamous 10-team league. So once I saw 10 strikeouts. They're going to bring him up, and he's just, I mean, he's really good. I'd pick him up right now if he can.
There it is.
Who's going to drop out? They have five pretty decent pitchers in the rotation right now. With
you would say Zach Littell's decent?
Fair.
Littell has
Aaron Savali sucks, too.
Savali's had bad results. Littell has had pretty decent results. Yeah, Littell's been perfectly serviceable.
Savali's had bad luck, Art. He has.
Yeah, he's given up a lot of home runs. That's pretty.
And they traded Manzardo for him, so he's not going away, in my opinion.
It would be Littell, I guess, but I think Littell has performed pretty well. But
you got Springs and Boz, so
yeah,
Springs is definitely going to pitch, I assume.
Is Springs up before Boz, you think?
No. I think they would prefer that because he also has seniority as an older pitcher. I just think they've trusted him more. And we've actually seen the results at the MLB level, guys, from Springs. More than Boz, we have so far.
I mean, Littell has a 1.38 whip. So, and he doesn't go deep into games. What I'm going to guess is going to happen is they're going to combine whatever those two comes back first, that Littell is going to piggyback with those guys, especially as they try to build them up over the beginning of when they start. I think Littell and them basically are going to be in one game together. Because
Hamilton stole a base, by the way.
There we go.
Solid point, Mendy. I think that's spot on too. Because that my point with Springs and with Boz, like, I'm trying to bring up the standings right now. Like, does Tampa have a shot? They're dead last in the East. Both of these guys are coming off injury. Like, how deep are they going to let either of these guys go into games? And two, is coming off of injuries. They're already essentially close to halfway through the season here as well. So, by the way, Aaron Civale, got shelled for another 4 runs, and giving up a lot of home runs, is just another way of saying you suck. So, Zach Littell, I think, is somebody who could be like a long reliever. I think if one of these guys comes up, Littell will be bumped out and maybe be a long relief and maybe piggyback with those guys. I think that's a great call.
Littell's given up 26 hits so far in the month of June in 3 starts.
So, wow. Is that bad?
26 hits, wow, 12 earned runs.
I feel like with Littell last season, he had a short leash and he overperformed it right away. I remember us talking about him being a 2-star pitcher or a streamer, and he seemed to go 6 innings most of the time, and I feel like that bought him a longer leash. And we're kind of seeing what we thought we would expect last year when he was, you know, going 4th, 5th time starting, and there was a little bit more film on him.
Very wise.
I just think it's just spelled out. Littell this month has a 7.71 ERA. He's given up 26 hits in 14 innings. Only has 7 strikeouts over those 14 innings. Like,
he's out of here.
Yeah, I think it's just like if they need to get him back in, he's the easy one to bump, and they just have him go like what he was last year. He would go, he was like an opener for a little bit too. Like, they'll have him go one time through the order and just have them go with whichever pitcher comes back. I just feel like that's what else would they do at this point, unless they did bump Civale, but I don't think that would be the first thing they do.
I think this is a question we may have to answer for some of our listeners. Like, is Shane Boz worth rostering in a 10-12 team league if he's a long relief option? If he's pitching 3 innings, 4 innings, but maybe getting you 7 Ks with good ratios, like, it's still, and there's potential and opportunity at a win because wins are random in that sense.
I think
he's still rosterable.
If he's starting. If he's the opener and only going 3, he's got to be the follower to be worthwhile, I think, in that. I mean, I guess 3 innings, if he's going like twice a week. But if he doesn't have a chance at a win or a save, I don't want it.
It would be
what about a 15-team league? Is he worth rostering in a 15-team league? Maybe he'll get 6-7 innings in a week, which would be a start.
I think
he is.
I think we're missing the command. I think the walks here are going to be a problem still. Yes, he can miss bats, but I want to see that he can command on an MLB mound consistently. He needs to prove that to me still. Boz does. Boz freaks me out.
If he is a starter, then I'm more worried about the command. If he comes in as relief pitcher, I'm less worried.
I think what you're getting for sure is the Ks. I think there's obviously the walk concerns, like you guys mentioned as well. I just don't know if he's going to be in line to get many wins, obviously. But I think he's a guy that, in my opinion at least, I think he's a guy worth taking a shot on in 12 teams and deeper, just in case, you know, he turns out to be something, you know, a diamond in the rough. Go ahead and hit that button there, Michael.
The most ideal thing in the world would be is if he was a follower. Like, if Sean Armstrong started before him and pitched the first, and then he only has to pitch 4 innings to get the win.
Yeah, that's it.
That's all.
But we all agree that Zach Littell is...
That one is long gone!
Right?
I mean, he had a bad start against Atlanta.
He had his June, other than that was 2 quality starts.
Art says, maybe!
He got beat up by Atlanta. His last start.
But he took Baltimore twice, six innings, three runs, prior to that, two times in a row. Baltimore's pretty decent.
I mean, you want to make a bet?
Yeah!
When they come back, the first pitcher that will not have a normal spot in the rotation will be Littell.
So bet that Littell's the one who gets pulled from the rotation?
So, like, whatever pitcher was it, Boz or Springs, whichever comes back, they're either going to take his spot or they're going to combine them into one.
I mean, you're probably right on that. I just don't think he's been as bad as you. Like, his numbers for the month of June are bad,
but he gave up like 8-1 outing in 2 innings, and that's why. The other than that, it's
you're trying to tell me that Zach.
It's one game. What I'm saying is that it's one game. Other than that one game, he was pretty. You know, he was very Miles Michaelis-ish.
We know what that leads to.
That's serviceable.
Michaelis has been good.
Whoa, David! Don't you go trashing Michaelis after he helped you out last week?
Exactly.
Michaelis, you know what Michaelis can do all with Miles Michaelis? He picked him up as a streamer, dropped him between outings, picked him up for the second game, and in a points league got him 47 points and didn't take up the roster spot during.
Give me
the
two.
Week. You can't say step. Anything bad about him, David.
That's smart.
Nice. I loved him on the two-step last week. It was a good one. I joined you, Mendy, but I kept him a week. But I love that maneuvering. If you got daily roster moves, you maneuver that shit. You massage that shit. You make it happen. It's like a bowel movement. Move into the anus. You got to make it happen. You got to work it out. Take your time. But I love it. Are we going to have a bet here? Because
I bet you would, Panama Red.
I would love to see
that. I want to put a bow on top of the Rays discussion. I could see a trade as well where they do move one of these arms because it's the Rays and they're out of contention. Why would they hold them? So
yes. I think there's multiple trades too, especially with them not – they're not out of it. They're only four games under. The wild card's still in play. But yes, I see even maybe an arm and a Rosarina maybe going, Marty. I don't know. Somebody's going to go in that outfield. They got a lot of players and some more guys they'd like to use, like Junior Caminero, for example. So I agree with that. I think Marty's a smart guy. Oh, Johnny DeLuca. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I used to work with a guy on a construction crew with that name. Old Johnny Unca Drunka, we used to call him. Unca Drunka DeLuca. Man, that guy was fucked up. He drove without a window in his car. It was weird.
Can I bring up one player that I'm interested to hear you guys' take
go
on?
Go to town, man. Give me two.
Utah.
What you got?
Give me two.
This is crazy to me. I just think this is so funny. I roster him in my home league because he's got 7 games this week. Brent Doyle of the Colorado Rockies. Would it surprise you guys to know that Mr. Doyle is hitting 327 at home, and on the road he's hitting 213? Like, isn't that just mind-blowing to you guys? The fact that that
takes me back to the 90s with, like, Dante Bichette and all those guys who had massive home splits. Yeah.
By the way, Doyle is three for three with a home run today. So he's getting
it. Wow.
Coors.
Dodgers. But
Doyle Alexander?
Doyle rules.
Doyle rules. I can't believe I don't have that drop. I'm an idiot. Wow, I got to write that down. Good tip.
Is Brent Doyle somebody you guys are, like, where is he rosterable at? Like, is he a rosterable guy in 12-team formats, even though he's been so bad on the road?
I had that same process you did this week for Michael Toglia. I think they're guys that we had more interest in because they have 7 games at home, and you take advantage of that.
Yeah, right.
I try to play Colorado players only at home unless I don't have another player. Like, I have Charlie Blackman in a few leagues, and I played him. He's been pretty hot lately, so thankfully, the fact that I needed to play him when they were playing on the road the early part of last week didn't hurt me that much. But I try to play Colorado Rockies players only in Colorado if I can.
Well, he's got 18 or 19 stolen bases, and I needed speed badly for this week. I also got in on the David Hamilton bandwagon way before this week, so, and due to Mr. Govier here, who had been talking about him for quite a while.
We're brothers in arms, Doc. We're brothers in arms.
Yeah.
Whoops, wrong button. God damn it. Sorry, I blew the show. Go ahead, Mike.
So I needed speed. I've held on to him, and I thought about dropping him, and I was like, wait a minute, Colorado's got 7 games in Coors this week. So far it's worked out. I think he went 0-for yesterday, but
nice work.
I think you guys hit it on the head there. I think using him in certain spots as kind of like as a streamer, because he's a fringe worthy player. Maybe is that where we're lumping Doyle into, like a kind of like a depends in matchups kind of guy?
He's a 14 teamer and deeper for sure, but
yeah.
Beyond that, streaming and week to week, yes.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. Also, Marty, going back to our trade talk with the Rays, Josh Lowe, that's the name. That's the guy who could really get moved, possibly, more than Randy. You think that's possible?
It's the Rays, yeah, absolutely.
You're right. End of story. Lock that in. Yeah. That makes all the sense of the world. Also, Eddie's telling us Jeffrey Springs pitched 2 innings tonight for Durham. 2 hits, 2 Ks so far. He's on the mend. What about rest of season, boys? A catcher battle showdown. Yainer Diaz of the Houston Astros or Francisco Alvarez of the New York Mets. Both these guys can hit for power, but one of them can actually hit for a better batting average than the other one can.
Yeah, it's Diaz for me.
I got to stick with how I ranked it beginning of the season. I'm not going to go away from it yet. I still had Alvarez as a top five catcher, and I'm going to keep him there. So I think he was hurt. There's a lot of season left, so I'm staying with Alvarez.
Good for you.
Is Alvarez that a thumbs up on the on your screen? That's pretty dope. I love that.
Does it randomly happen?
What? How does it do that?
I don't know.
I think it's because I got a green screen. That's it. That's it. If you have a green screen, it's got this weird augmented reality shit. Like I can make a rain by thumbs down. I think right.
Where's the fireworks? Like
bad weather. Yeah, look at this bad weather. Yeah. Oh my god! I didn't mean. Oh, it's raining. Raindrops keep falling on my head. Yeah, so that's fun. Rest of season. Who else didn't speak on this? Speak now.
Diaz.
Yeah, it's Diaz. Contact skills.
Is that 5-1 then? D. Mendy, the only one on Alvarez?
You know what? Me and Alvarez are going to ride into the sunset together. So let's go.
But in Diaz Hell only yeah. strikes out 15% of the time. Like, it's just, it's a great profile for a catcher. Mm-hmm. Even though he only still has a 2.85 OBP, it's because 3.8 walk percentage.
Yep. Marty, I know all about that because he's on that head-to-head league I'm in, which is OBP. So I know all about that. But I haven't dropped him. I held on to him.
Yeah, he's 25. They could turn around.
Keeper, baby! Eight keepers. I'm thinking maybe. I have to look at the rest of the roster. Chad just said, I just started hard buying on two players. Sadane Rafael of the Boston Red Sox, who is finally hitting the ball. And that Trevor Rogers? Whoa, really? Oh, man, I got a whole history of Trevor Rogers, who has quietly been the old Trevor Rogers of late. I would disagree that he's been the old Trevor Rogers. If you mean the 2023 and 2022 Trevor Rogers, which is the shitty old one, because really, there's only one good season that Trevor Rogers had. That was 2021, when he had a 2.55 ERA on over 130 innings pitched. It was legit. And the peripherals backed it up, but he's not been that guy in any other year. So I'm very dubious of the Trevor Rogers part of this, but I think most of you guys would agree with me. We all love us some Sadane Rafaela, right?
Oh, yeah. Do you guys remember a few years ago when the next big wave of pitchers, it was Shane McClanahan, it was Trevor Rogers and Alec Manoa, and everybody's like, those are the three young guys you want to get for Dynasty. Look how that played out.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, Mike's pissed.
It was McClanahan, who, and Manoa?
Trevor Rogers. Manoa and Trevor Rogers.
Trevor Rogers. God, I'm not seeing. I was just looking at him for a possible ad last week in 15-teamers, and I was like, nope, I'm not seeing any real changes under the hood where I'm ready to buy in on Trevor Rogers. I wasn't.
Yeah,
I'm not touching him.
Art, by the way, real quick, Charlie Blackman left with a hamstring injury. Did we talk about that?
No.
Sorry. Dude, my Glarf team is a disaster. From Michael Harris to Ronald Acuna Jr. to Trout to you name it, to Bieber to it's amazing I'm not in last place in Glarf. It's just every night the hits
that is. Coming. Wow, you're not in last? Yeah, that is amazing. Everything you just named, all those injuries, Jesus, what a nightmare. Wow.
We couldn't do diddly poo offensively.
Yeah, that's Marty's team because they can't play, which is very sad. go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, did you guys, have you guys seen the Simpsons meme where it's like, stop, he's already dead? Yeah. Walker Buehler finally, stop, he's already dead. He gave up 7 runs and they pulled him.
He couldn't top John Gray. Well, I guess he wins the week then. Is that how that works? Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. That sounds terrible.
Whatever, motherfucker!
Okay, take it easy. Jesus, that's cruel. Rest of season? Joey Ortiz or Nick Gonzalez? This is a good one. Joey Ortiz, Mike, a guy that your Baltimore Orioles traded to Milwaukee in the DL Hall for... What's his face? Who'd they got? Oh, yeah, Corbin Burns. He's pretty good. But Mikey... You've been anti-Joey Ortiz just like I have, but what we've seen from him, including the peripherals underneath the hood, some of the hard hit rate stuff, is like, shit, well, I'm impressed. But you love Nick Gonzalez too, Mike, so what do you do here?
This is a really good one here, rest of season-wise. I kind of like Joey Ortiz more for the power.
Wow.
I don't know, dude. This is a tough one for me. I'm kind of torn. If I had to rank them, I'd probably put them back to back, but I'm still going to slight lean towards Gonzalez, but I don't feel good about it. But if Ortiz is going to continue to hit towards the top of the lineup, hard not to like him in that offense. But what do you guys think between Gonzalez and Joey Ortiz?
The answer Marty gave earlier, Nick Gonzalez, because he's on my team.
I like Joey Ortiz, but it's definitely not like by a lot. It's definitely really close.
Yeah, it's a tight margin, isn't it? It's not that huge.
I mean, I worry about Gonzalez's zone contact rate. It's pretty far below average. So his strikeouts are only about 22% right now. So I wonder if that's going to be going up and the batting average is going to come down. I think Ortiz has a little bit more natural power. So I'd go for him. I think he has a higher ceiling. But I like Gonzalez.
Look at that. Look at that K to walk. 15% Ks, 14% walk rate for Joey Ortiz. That is stellar, man. That's really impressive. It is. And that leads to more opportunities for him to produce in fantasy. It just does.
I want to go on record, too, real quick with Joey Ortiz. It's true that I thought he was a little overhyped. But at the same time, too, when the trade happened, everyone was like, oh, damn, we got rid of Joey Ortiz. Where was he going to play? He's not taking shortstop from Gunnar Henderson. Second base at some point.
It was a great trade for both teams, I think.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, that's essentially what it came down to, right? Is it's like, you know, everyone was like, oh, I can't believe, I forgot who it was. One of the Milwaukee pitchers was like, I can't believe that, you know, they let Baltimore let him go. He was never going to play with us. He just wasn't, he could only be a second short or a third baseman, and all those were taken. So, and at the end of the day, we needed starting pitching. So to Doc's point, it was a great trade for both teams. But I also thought, I was more of a Connor Norby guy than Joey Ortiz guy. So
when it happened. Don't bring him up.
We knew when Milwaukee refused to pay Corbin Burns like less than $5 million for arbitration that it was over.
Yes, I brought that point up at the beginning of the season as well, Doc. Very, very, very well said.
Yeah, that was contentious.
What's weird about Joey Ortiz and Nick Gonzalez? Both are 25 years old, and both went to New Mexico State together.
What? Joey Ortiz did?
Apparently, that's what it says on Baseball Savant.
I knew that Nick Gonzalez did because I remember when he got drafted, he was a top 10 MLB draft pick. I did not know that.
Yeah, he was number seven. Nick Gonzalez, number seven in round one, and Joey Ortiz, round four, 108.
Wow, dude.
Well, how about that shit? Wow, that's awesome. That's fun. That right there. This whole show was worth it for that tidbit. It really was. I did not know that. Now I'm going to use that the rest of the season. Thanks to my main man, Marty Tallman, who you should all be following on Twitter, X at Marty_Tallman. We're about to close this thing down here. We've been having a lot of fun, but, you know, people have lives and children, and they have to, like, go to bed, and they have to earn money by being at places for a certain set of hours. And if they're not there, then they might not get money. So that's really what it comes down to. And I don't begrudge anybody who's trying to make a buck, you know? Trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents. It's hard to be legit and still pay your rent. That's what Tupac said a long time ago. Don't forget that. Gentlemen, as we close down here on this wonderful edition of the Triple Play Fantasy Baseball versus Palazzo Podcast Fantasy Baseball crossover event.
Utah.
I would love to get some final thoughts from everybody who wants to get on record with certain players or trends. Where we're at right now in the season as we're getting closer to the All-Star break, which is just under a month away. Anybody chomping at the bit to go first? Is it chomping? Chomping? Yeah. Chomping?
Chomping with an M. Yeah.
Chomping. Okay.
I always go to my elder, my senior.
Oh, that's me. I'm the old one. No, it's... Yeah, thanks.
Formerly a prick in high school, but now the wise elder of the tribe. See, that's full,
you know,
full this circle
is,
right there.
This is why the Cherokee believed you didn't become a man until you were 51 years old. Fully a man. I'm not there yet, but I'll get there before these other guys. Got the bozo to my left. Which way is left, right? I don't know.
Palazzo on Sirius XM. Look for that in the future. Thanks, Eddie. You're very kind.
Well, you're a treasure, and you're a great host.
A treasure.
You're a great host, Mike.
I gotta be honest with you. I love being on the show. It's great chatting with you. It's been a long time since we were on the show.
Really long, but, yeah.
I think we were still in lockdown the first time we were on the show, and or something. Oh, you did Jesus. Like you did like 30 straight nights of shows.
Well, what you else was there to do, right?
You remember?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which was an incredible feat. I gotta be honest with you. You must have worked your tail off. But we were one of those nights on there with you, and it's been great to get back on, chat with you again. One of the OGs in the podcasting community, as you say, just like us, I guess. So thanks for having us on personally. And you and I, we text back and forth. We're buddies, Mike. Yeah,
absolutely.
I love you, buddy. Yeah. Great to be on the show.
I love you too, Art. You're the best. Thanks, man. That's very kind of you. Art is the best. Make sure you follow Art on Twitter X. He's Art Tornabean over there, whatever the hell you are. You're putting LC in your... You're supposed to put your handle. What are you? Is this your first show ever, man? What the hell are you doing? Come on. Good God in heaven. Guys, final thoughts. Please don't kiss my ass. I'd like to hear some fantasy baseball stuff. Any trends you've noticed this year? Something for the people to nibble on that maybe they haven't noticed, or a player, anything.
One of the things I've noticed, because I do a lot of pitcher under strikeouts, under outs, it doesn't matter if somebody is getting bombed. They're going to let him go. I've seen a lot of pitchers that have given up 4 or 5 runs in the first 2 innings, and they'll keep them out there till they'll throw 70, 80 pitches and preserve the bullpen anytime they can. So just a small thing I've noticed within the last couple days.
I'll bring up one of the players I was going to talk about tonight, Taj Bradley. I think what you're seeing is for real. He does give up a lot of hard contact, really hard contact, but his strikeout stuff is undeniable, and he has progressively been working with his pitch misc a little bit. He has cut down on his cutter. He has cut down a little bit on the curveball, has gone more heavy four-seam and split. I think that split increase is really what has been the big difference, just looking at his game by game on Brooks Baseball. So I do think if he can somehow get that barrel rate and the hard contact to go down a little bit, that strikeout stuff is legit. I think he's somebody that if he's on the wire, I would make sure to go pick up.
Love that.
Good stuff.
There's no fight.
Sorry. We haven't been violent tonight. Sorry. Marty, you want to hit me? Imagine it here. He goes, Go ahead, Marty.
Bob Naweeb. I just want to say that my half kind of kidding, but kind of serious suggestion of just drafting the entire Seattle Mariners starting pitching staff would have actually really, really worked out if you did it. So I don't know. Thought that was kind of cool.
That would have. You're right. But I mean, that's risky.
Really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. We should try that. Brian Wu is risky. The rest,
yeah.
Solid.
Bryce Miller looked good again today. So
Bryce Miller, people were pissed at him. Mike, remember we were talking on a show like a month ago? Like, this guy sucks. That was a case. That was the case for a moment.
Yeah. Even stressful. Logan Gilbert got ripped. Bryce Miller is stressful, and you need to accept that if you roster him.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well said. Locked it in. Well said.
Shit! Sorry. I get mad when I don't press the right button. I need to know that.
My bold prediction here coming up here, Noelvi Marte is a league winner in the second half.
Comes back June 27th, right?
Next week.
And CES is out. There's opportunities. TJ Friedl got hurt again last night for like the 80th time this season. Poor bastard. Doesn't deserve that. The Queen City doesn't deserve that. By the way, Queen City or Charm City? What's a better name, D-Mendy?
Queen City, no doubt.
Really? You're blowing up your own spot? Wow, dude.
Wow. I love that. I'm not in the Charm City anymore.
Yeah, but you've been there. You know that place. You know that joint. You know what it's like to hang out down the south side there, down by the water. No, what the hell they nice, call that man, place?
Queen City,
Taco Bell
man.
Point? Locust Point?
Can't remember. Oh, yeah, Locust Point. Yeah, you remember. There you go.
Yeah. Sure, man. I used to pick up a bunch of drunks on Fed Hill all the time. It was hell on earth. That was my job, Ubering around drunk 25-year-olds at Fed Hill, puking and... You might have picked, fucking, two people fucked in the backseat one night. That was real. That really happened. It did.
You might, Jesus, you might have picked me up in Baltimore then, Kofi.
Yeah, who knows? Some of us might have met each other once upon a time back in the day there, 2018. But
I have a question for the group before we get out of here.
Please, Marty,
Mike Trout is currently rostered in 96% of Yahoo leagues. He has zero timetable currently as of today.
I saw that.
A full drop in all leagues?
Ooh.
Are you wasting an IL spot?
Can't be a full drop.
Well, I dropped him in a 15-team league in Glarf.
Wow, I would drop him in a 10-team. I'd drop him maybe in a 12-team. But 15, I don't think I can go there, Marty. I don't think I can.
Well, he gone. Well, that's because I had four or five other injured people. He was
right, and that's a no IL place.
Yeah, and he was the person who I don't know the most. But yeah, still no timetable, and it's been, what, a month and a half?
Did he get picked up, Marty?
I don't know. I dropped him this week.
Oh, is this week? That's going to be the worst.
He should get picked up. If you're in first, second, third, you know, and you have a spot, why not? Yeah. I would take a shot on it. That makes sense. But when you're, like, fighting just to, you know, stay alive, sorry, Mike, you got to go, buddy.
Is that one of the worst feelings in fantasy baseball or anything fantasy when you drop somebody and then immediately you see someone pick them up right away?
The worst. The absolute worst.
Both shares my Willy Abreu. Willy Abreu didn't start for the first 2 weeks. I dropped him, instantly picked up everywhere, and he's been good ever since. It sucks. But my process worked.
Yeah.
He was a good sleeper.
Process, not results.
Sam Hinkie in the house. Tribute.
Well, real quick, let's go around the horn. Let's get on the record here. Is Mike Trout droppable with no timetable? What's everybody else think?
If you have an IL spot, yes. He's probably one of the most valuable IL stashes. But if you need the spot, then drop him.
Okay.
I've been saying
holding on to him in a head-to-head league the most, just thinking maybe he'll be there for the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think he's been droppable. For a while, I think I thought he was droppable when he first went down when it first happened. I thought that was the right time to drop.
Aren't the Angels like the second worst team in the American League?
Yeah, historically, this has happened to Trout a few times, and he said, "Yeah, I'm gonna come back," and he just doesn't come back.
I mean, White Sox and Oakland, you have the White Sox, Oakland, and the Angels, What's his motivation to come back? What's the Angels' motivation to have him come back? If you're not fighting for a playoff spot, he signed for, what, another 4 or 5 years, whatever it is. It's like, why are you going to have him come back if you're not even in contention for a playoff spot? To me, unless I'm in a 15-team league where, I forgot who mentioned it, where I'm at the top of the standings and I can afford to wait, that's the only circumstance I'm holding him. Otherwise, I'm dropping him.
Trout to the Phillies. Yeah, that's not happening trade. This year.
Nobody brought up trade. Yeah, Mike. I mean, if maybe he's sitting to wait to be finally dealt. They're finally like, you know what? This is the Ken Griffey Jr. situation. Let's send you to Cincinnati, start fresh. You'll still be hurt a lot, but at least it's somewhere else. Also, this rumor has been around forever because he's from New Jersey, Middle River, New Jersey or something, right? So, or Milltown or some shit. I don't know. I don't know New Jersey that well.
But I agree with both. Yeah, I agree with both points. First off, they need to do right by Trout. Just get him out of there, man. He's one of the most iconic baseball players, at least of my generation, in terms of in my lifetime. Not recently, but you know, when he was called up, he was amazing. So I'd like to see him go somewhere else, start fresh, and go to a contender. But I agree with Doc's point too. I think he's one of the more rosterable IL guys. If you have the space to roster him, I think it's worth hanging on to him. But if you need the spot, I don't mind dropping him in anything 12-team or shallower, or even 4-team actually. 12-team and shallow. That's what I'll stick with. Anything more at the deeper, I'm probably holding on to him.
Get in your mouse and get out of here.
Joe says the Millville, the Millville Meteor. Eddie says that Trout would be rejuvenated if he went to Philly. Yeah, but that doesn't mean he'll be healthy. Sorry, Eddie, I love you, man. I love your support of the show, Ed, but come on. It's like when you try to start your life over in a new town, in a new state. You move from Detroit to Charleston, South Carolina, or Denver, Colorado. but you're still the same person. You bring all your baggage with you, including your injuries. So if you got bad knees in Anaheim, you still have bad knees in the city of brotherly love. Brother Love. Remember Brother Love? He was a wrestler. What a weird... That was weird. Brother Love. Did anybody else not get to say their piece? Mike Virginia, did you say your piece? Did you get everything on the record?
Yeah, I said Noel Vimarte would be a league winner in the second half.
You did say that. That's true. For me, yeah. I've said it all. I've said everything I want to say. Most importantly, I'm grateful for the show. I hope you all had a good time here. It was informative. We had a few laughs. We covered a ton of ground, actually. And I feel like this certainly isn't a waste of time. Even if you hate us, you might begrudgingly say, well, shit, these guys suck. But damn it, if I didn't learn something. Right? That's what I care about most.
The more you know thing.
Go across la, like la, la. I do. I need the video clip of that. You're right. Oh, shit.
Fuck the bozos.
Yeah, that's all I got instead. So I want to thank everybody for being here tonight on the Triple Play Fantasy Palazzo Podcast Fantasy Crossover. It's been a real pleasure doing the show. Make sure you follow everybody here because these people know what they're doing. They're making a difference in fantasy baseball lives all across the world. Like, truly, all across the world. It's amazing. People can see this anywhere, any place. The Philippines, Australia, the Congo, and the tip of South America, where you will find the Drake Passage, which is one of the most dangerous water areas in the world, believe it or not. And I know this because Marty, our pal in Glarf, Aaron Cummings, told me the story about how he went down to Antarctica and Joe Musgrove threw the fastest pitch ever in Antarctica. Which was, I didn't know that was going to be a thing, but it's a thing that happened. You Google it. You'll check it out. Joe Musgrove threw I think it was like 88 miles an hour in Antarctica. That's pretty good for cold weather like that.
Pretty good.
I was impressed. Probably why he's on the IL.
Oh, man. Couldn't have said it better myself. You rule. Yeah. And Joe says, what if I love you guys but didn't learn anything? Well, that's fine, Joe. We'll still love you all the same, buddy. Jamie says, MG, you do suck. Just kidding. Mike VA is the new host. That's fine. Mike can do everything on his own. Mike is a free, fully formed human being living his own life. Mike is a much more mature man than I am, even though I'm 8 years older than him. There's no doubt about that. And I know that. So if I didn't know that, then I would be living a lie and my life would be a fraudulent disaster. And I don't want it to be. So thank you for that.
Jamie, thank real you. Quick, the Palazzo Podcast would not be the Palazzo Podcast without Michael Govier. He is King Palazzo, King Bozo. King
okay, Bozo. Yeah, great. Yeah, that I'll lock that in. Yeah, that's beautiful.
There it is.
Make sure you follow D. Mendy, Marty Tallman, Doc, Triple Play Fantasy, Art Tornabean, Little Cheesecake. I'm an MJ Govier. Of course, Mike Virginia at _ Mike VA and Palazzo Podcast 2Ls.
Utah.
2Zs. Everybody in the Palazzo Galaxy of Stars who didn't attend tonight, Britton Allen, Benjamin Chase, Robbie Baseball, Sam Wershing. Did I miss anybody in our crew there? I left somebody out, didn't I? Mike.
No, I don't think so.
Mike, Robbie, Ben. And Sam and Britton. I did it. Great. All right. Thanks, everybody. It's been a pleasure doing the show with everybody. Tune in tomorrow night. I'll be on here again. Chris Deary, former host, former legend, will be here live for the first time since he left the show in 2023. Yes. That's going to be something we're tuning in for. So make sure you're here. Please subscribe. Please like the YouTube. Help us get to 1,000 subs. Until that day, gentlemen, Godspeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.